Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, part of Signs of Life Radio. So we gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, your host, and I'm very excited to welcome Tracy Lee Nash back to the show. Tracy Lee Nash is a certified medium from the Forever Family Foundation, and a research medium of the Windbridge Institute. She began her spiritual journey when she was 6 years old, when she discovered she can sense things even though there wasn't a physical presence. She can also hear voices, see things, smell certain odors and fragrances. At the time, she didn't know how, that this was how people who passed away would communicate with us. She didn't understand until years later when she discovered that people who do these things are called mediums. Eventually, her mediumship abilities deepened, and most likely due to her near-death experience, she's been practicing mediumship at a high level ever since. She's also an energy health practitioner. Her website, where she can be reached, is www.withinthelight.com. So no spaces, withinthelight.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the show tonight, as always, is commercial free, so no interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one. Have a drink on us and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we welcome Tracy, I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. You guys probably know this already, but I'd love to remind you that Bob Ginsberg's new book is available on Amazon. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating for Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It is a guide of people who's either have had a reading with a medium or plan to have one, or just that are, for those of you that are simply curious. Profits from the sale of this book all go to the Forever Family Foundation. And of course, you can always check out more interesting stuff on the afterlife in the Netflix docuseries called Surviving Death, which is still streaming. Bob Fran and the Forever Family Foundation are featured in episode 4. And one more thing, that tonight's show, it's research only. Tracy is not going to be doing any readings tonight. If you have any questions related to, how mediumship works, or questions about mediumship, definitely please call in. We'd love to hear from you. And also, we're not doing any commercials anymore. So this has been working out great. The hour passes by super quickly. And we, it just gives us more time to take your calls and to really dive into these, these questions about the afterlife. Anybody that needs to call, that if you want to call in, the call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Having said all that, Tracy, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you, Roman. Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. I'm very good. So I'm very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. I think the last time we spoke was about almost 2 years ago. It was pre-COVID, that's for sure.
Oh yes. Yes. Hopefully we're at the tail end of that. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. So hey, what do you call home?
Menifee, California. It's in Southern California. It's about maybe 20 minutes outside of Temecula.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with Temecula?
No. Well, embarrassingly enough, no.
Oh.
I was in Southern California last summer on a family vacation. We started off in San Diego, which is the very southern tip, and then we drove all the way up north, right? You know, to San Francisco.
Oh, and
then we did the Grand Canyon and Yosemite, and we did a whole bunch of stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Oh wow, yeah, I'm about an hour from San Diego, so we're sort of centrally located. If you're not familiar with Temecula, it's wine country. They hold balloon festivals there every year. So we're not too far from there. And that's usually the place I direct people to, because more people are familiar with Temecula than Menifee.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows it.
Are you experiencing decent weather at this time right there?
It's pretty good. Today it's been drizzly, but you know, overall, you just really cannot complain about Southern California weather. For the most part, it's wonderful. So it's been mild so far, not too bad. Hoping for, you know, continuous mild weather. Winter is not necessarily my favorite time, cold, you know, weather-wise, but it's still enjoyable.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I was actually quite surprised when I was in San Diego, how cold the water was in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
even in Southern California, you think it was warm, you know, because it's Southern California and it's pretty darn hot outside, especially in the summer. But the ocean water, like it was, what, 63, 64 degrees, maybe?
Yeah. It's cold summer. It's cold winter. The water's freezing, but Yeah, you really, the weather for the most part, this is the place to call home.
Good for you. So, you know what? We have a whole bunch of questions that we can ask you. And we go with this format where the Forever Family Foundation members send in their questions in advance. They email them. So I've got a couple of these for you typed out and a lot of other questions from other shows that weren't answered that perhaps you can answer. So we can begin our discussions with that. And we can also take in any callers as they come through, you know, and if we don't get any callers, that happens also. There's enough fodder from the questions to, you know, to keep this conversation going hour. So, and you were a fascinating person. So it's going to be so much fun. So, so listen, I'm going to dive in with the first question from one of our people that emailed in, and I'll just read it verbatim. Here it goes. I am curious and, in fact, concerned about spirits that have not crossed over to the other side, but remain attached to a certain place or person or even an object. Some are not even aware that they have died. Others believe that they aren't worthy of going into the light. My questions are they to remain in this limbo forever? And two, when will anybody from the light come to help them cross over, or is it up to us from Earth to find and help them? And this is from a Melissa from Michigan.
Good question.
This is a good question.
Yeah. You know, as far as being attached to a place, location, an object, it is true that sometimes you can find spirit in a limbo place, so to speak. And in order to help them cross over, I wouldn't say necessarily every single circumstance is the same, that they all successfully cross over. There may be some for, you know, particular reasons unbeknownst to a medium, for example, or, you know, the person themselves as to maybe why they're where they remain. Sometimes that does happen, but I would say for the most part, successful transitions, crossing over, a lot of times that's, I think it helps if the person who holds the object or lives in a particular place, for example, that is finding that activity, you know, maybe bothersome or it concerns them. sometimes merely asking spirit to cross over can work. Sometimes if you're not comfortable doing that, you can call on a medium to help assist. But I would say more times than not, you are successful in helping them transition, but not every single time, hence the reason you have hauntings, you know, for centuries. As far, excuse me, as far as having assistance from the other side, I do feel that that can be in tandem with the medium, as well as who they connect with that can help bridge that gap, that can then help spirit to cross over.
Very interesting. Also, I heard, I mean, I've read a ton of books on this subject, and I recall from one of the books that I read, now I can't quote exactly where I read it from, but mm-hmm. I heard that, you know, ghosts and apparitions that may become visible in certain buildings, like your typical ghost things. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's portrayed in Hollywood. What it usually is, and a lot of people think this, or a lot of scholars that have studied this, think it's like a tape recording. It's like an after trail kind of thing, a remnant, if you will.
A residual. Yeah. A residual.
That's the perfect mm-hmm. word right there. Of, you know, of the energy that was once belonged to the rest of the person that did transition over. And mm-hmm. it's just a religious. So that's why you'll see the same person walking down the same hall. It's just like a broken record kind of, yeah. you know, looping. It's an endless loop.
Yep. They sometimes reference that as residual or imprint or looping. But yes, that is true also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for those kind of things, I don't think there's much that you can do about it. I mean, that's not the person has transitioned,
right.
The soul has transitioned over, and that's just like kind of like the footprints that are left in the snow kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Anything, mm-hmm. there's no consciousness there or anything like that, and anything you do or say is not going to change that. But, yeah. you know,
yeah. I mean, I would say that's true sometimes, sure.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Good. Yeah, that was a great answer to a great question. We have another question that came in, and I will read it verbatim. Asking for signs from our departed family, is this a thing that requires a lot of energy on their part? And if you don't get a sign, which I haven't, is there a particular way that it needs to be asked for? Thinking it, saying it out loud, picturing it in our minds, or some other way? I guess this person wants to get some kind of communication.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another great question. And, you know, in the field of mediumship and the work that we do, I think a lot of the experiences and or even, you know, sharing experiences in mediums or what they believe, a lot of it can be very subjective, because you can ask one medium one thing and then another medium something else, and, you know, or the same question, and they'll have a different response. But in general, messages are, you know, things that we would all love to receive from loved ones in the way of signs. You can ask, and sometimes just the simplest way to ask is literally just to ask and be open and receptive to what comes through. You may be specific in asking, I want it this way, or I'd like it that way. And I do believe that also can be attained. And sometimes there are people that need a little bit more convincing. So they may make it a little bit challenging for spirit. And sometimes those messages come through exactly as they are asked for. It can be, you know, have a feather fall on the roof of my car, or I want to find, you know, a dime with this particular year. So that can occur. It does require energy from spirit, and a lot of times what you're asking for, they can produce. But I often tell my clients or anyone who asks that question is really, at the end of the day, you want to be open. You want to be receptive to what messages come through. So asking and being open to receiving. And if you're flexible in that, it may be something very unexpected in the way the message comes through, but you'll know it by the way it resonates with you or in some other capacity makes sense for you. So really just have an open mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Having an open mind is really important because the messages might come across in a way that is much better than what you've even asked for.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Absolutely.
I know that spirit, they like to play with energy, for example, like mm-hmm. look for flickering lights, for example. That's a good one. I've experienced that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Flickering lights where, you know, the power of my house is perfect. I've never had any issues and I've had stuff like happen like that. I've heard from other people, this license plate of my husband's name, so you got to really keep your eyes open, but discern. You got to discern at the same time. You can't think that, every piece of toast that you toast has a picture of Jesus on it.
Absolutely. And that's a great, great point because you don't want to reach. You don't want to contort or try to form the message to fit what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You just allow it. And a lot of times what you are, again, asking for will appear. It may appear exactly in that format you're, inviting in. It may be something different, but don't force it. And a lot of times, especially if we're grieving, grief can block a message, but it also can make it difficult, even if a message is coming through that maybe you're not
open to it,
open to mm-hmm. receiving it. So you might miss it or you dismiss it because you think, well, it didn't come in the way that I had asked. Gotcha. And that is something where people really need to be flexible mm-hmm. and open with regards to that.
Great answer. Yep. So listen, we have a caller on line one. We have a Shannon from Minnesota on line one. Shannon from Minnesota, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
So you got a question?
Yes, I do. Tracy, are you able to feel the strength of spirits, like a strong spirit that's coming through and the spirits that come after him to speak to you? I've had several readings from mediums from the Forever Family Foundation, and they've been absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another one coming up, and I'm so excited. But my dad's always the first one to come through. And then mm-hmm. it seems like everybody follows him.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be the main speaker most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of wondering about my mom and, other super close relatives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he always seemed to be really into like mediumship, even back in the 70s, he would go to mediums back then mm-hmm. and just kind of really, he seemed intuitive, but I think back then people really didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't really told much about it. So I'm wondering really, how much of this he was really into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. great question. Yes, there are different strengths of energy when the medium is coming through. Sometimes I refer to them as the gatekeepers or the spokesperson or the spokeshole, because you can have the feeling, so you can sense that you have a lot of energies present, but of that group, you can tell one of them is going to lead, the rest of the spirit circle. So even if there's 3, 4, 5, 6, a lot of times the strongest energy will be the one who typically will come forward and speak for everyone collectively if needed, and or, you know, just for themselves. But yeah, there are varying degrees of that strength of spirit, and you typically can tell the vibe or the energy of who's going to be the most dominant.
So do you think, like, because of his lifetime, you know, of actually, I mean, he had a very strong belief in this, as I mm-hmm. do also, very mm-hmm. much so. Do you think that makes you a stronger spirit or not? That really probably wouldn't have that much to do with it. Because any reading that I've had too, I mean, everybody's come through like right away. It's like, mm-hmm. it's just like, oh yeah, we have all these people lined up. It's like, wow.
Yeah. I do believe sometimes that when in the physical world, our loved ones were involved with something, that they loved, something they were very invested in or interested in, professionally or as a hobby. So I do believe that sometimes that knowledge that they had here can translate to the other side. And so it wouldn't be uncommon, for example, if your father were to come through in almost every reading first, if from a group of your loved ones, in your family, he would be the one that maybe frequented mediums more than anyone else. So sure. I do think that sometimes that experience in life does carry over and can help sort of boost, if you will, that energy. But you're also correct. A lot of times it's really the strength of that energy coming through and how the medium connects with spirit, as well as the client. So as the sitter.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you tell if, if you sit down with the client, like right away, this is going to be a fabulous reading because you're open to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That a lot of times before I even take a client, I sit, I write while I work, but I write prior to the reading, and usually from the first name of who I'm going to be reading for, I can tell immediately this is going to be difficult or it's not going to be difficult. And a lot of that
okay.
is based on receptivity, openness, and really just allowing the process to unfold. It's a lot more difficult when, for example, someone's cynical coming to a reading, but they're still curious. So it can be difficult. Skeptical also has its challenges, but it's a lot more easier to navigate than if they are cynical, which I'm sure many mediums have, encountered issues like that in the past.
Right. No, I mean, like I said, I've had fabulous readings from this group, and yeah, they really helped me with grief immensely. So I cannot thank the Family Foundation enough that It's crazy, but yeah, they're awesome.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, Shannon, thank you very much for your call. Great question.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that whole thing about, you brought up a very interesting point about the type of readers that you get, the type of sitters that you get, you know, between open-minded or cynical or skeptical, that can make a huge difference in the quality of the reading and how hard it is for you to read, because it really is a three-way communication, right?
I mean, yes.
The sitter, you, as well as spirit, and everything, you know, everything has to be functioning. The better everything functions separately, the better it's going to function as a whole, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a lot easier if you have everybody on board and everyone working together. It's a lot more challenging if, you know, someone is deeply skeptical, even if they're open. That sort of skeptical aspect of them can sometimes block the ability for a medium to read successfully or to be able to, you know, to really connect the way that they would like to. So being open is always a huge plus.
That's really fascinating. I mean, you know, if you look in the days of old, when this whole thing started, you know, in the 19th century, mediumship was probably at its apex at that point because, well, it wasn't conflicting with a bunch of other forms of entertainment and, you know, that's available today. But you had incredible mediums like D.D. Holm that, you know, he used to make accordions play, you know, just on their own, right in the broad daylight, you know, floating in the air in Faraday cages and, you know, where nothing electronic could be, you know, passed through or whatever.
Right.
And you had some incredible physical mediums and voice, you know, people, shapeshifters and all these crazy things that you just don't see today. It's extremely, extremely rare today. And there's a lot of, you know, it's neat. I mean, it's very interesting how the times have changed, especially for mediumship over the years and how it's evolved. It looks like it's evolved like to, it looks like it's making a renaissance, and that's a lot thanks to the internet and, you know, the community that's online and all of that. So it's becoming a lot more popular and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I don't think it's at a level that it was in the 19th century. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I think we've made a lot of progress, but I do believe that we have a ways to go to be able to, I think, sort of reach that level where I think it's more widely accepted and appreciated.
Yeah, and performed.
And performed, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're doing your mediumship, how do you go about doing it? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel like? What is a typical, you know, without naming any one of your clients or anything like that, what is a typical session for you?
Normally, I will start, I read a majority of my clients because I have them all over the world. So I read typically by phone, and excuse me, and I will sit in meditation and I will begin writing whatever comes through. I will use just the first name of my client and I will write, scribble, draw, but usually it's writing, and I wait to connect with what comes through. Usually that's in imagery, pictures, feelings. Those are the two most dominant ways that I will connect. Although I hear, I will smell as well. I document everything that is coming through. So when I take the call, I will usually have about a page full of information that I've written down. And a lot of times when I'm inviting spirit in, I like to ask their, you know, not just for their assistance, but also in helping me to describe the read or the sitter who I'm going to be reading for. So I also ask, you know, the loved one, you know, tell me about who we're going to be speaking with in the form of your loved one who's living. And a lot of times that comes through color, color imagery again, but a lot of times it's color as well. And I will sit and document the colors that come through, the strength of the colors, what that means personality-wise. So they have a description for the client when we're connecting so that the client knows that their loved one is present, because I don't know the client, I haven't met them. Right. So it's a great way to start the reading, talking about, for example, their colors and how spirit sees them, how their loved one saw them in life, and how they continue to see them from the other side, how they've grown. You know, various things can come into play. But basically, that's how I will prepare for the reading. And then throughout, it, you know, is a pretty much a typical mediumship reading, personality of the loved one coming through, maybe how they passed. But mostly, I would say it's messages for their loved one in things that they need to maybe know or hear or receive clarity on, about things that might be occurring, you know, after the loss of their loved one. And so it's varied, but it's pretty, I would say, normal in the way that I read, like a lot of other mediums do.
Yeah, that's the way that you described it is, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I've had some experience with mediums as well. And usually a great deal of the session is dedicated to, you know, proving, you know, establishing belief that, yes, you are talking to the person, the entity that you're, you know, that you say that you're talking to. And that's through evidence. So, you know, you want to establish that and get that. Because without that being established, you can't get the message across.
Exactly. You need that. You don't want to be cliche. You know, you don't want it. You need for your client to be able to connect with the information. So it really, you know, if you say, "Oh, your father loves you," that's very general. It might be absolutely true, but what else? You know, what kind of father did you have? What was his personality like? How did he pass? You know, maybe what were his hobbies? But evidence, obviously, is very important. And one of the best ways to do that is, I find when a spirit comes through and they're connecting, is talking to, you know, with myself and me relaying the message, talking to them and letting them know, you know, I see your struggles, or this is what, you know, I've been seeing. This is what, you know, I would like you to know about that. So a lot of information that may come through can also apply to them currently. Some might be predictive. It hasn't happened yet based on, you know, things that we're discussing or being shown. But it's important to know that you're talking to your loved one. And really the only way you can establish that is through personal private information.
Right. Now, when you receive these messages, is it like, do you hear it? Do you see it? Is it clairaudient? Do you see words? Do you see symbols? How are you receiving it?
A lot of it is symbolism. I see a lot of pictures and words the words a lot of times will be written in, you know, in my mind's eye. I will hear as well, but the impressions, the feeling, the sensations, that is oftentimes how something will hit me. That's to let me know how spirit, you know, is feeling, or the importance of the message they're giving, or maybe how they passed. So they will impact my body in a particular way to let me know maybe how they crossed over. If there's something going on with the client, they may show me a picture, a word I may hear at the same time, and a feeling also. So it can be all forms, but a lot of times it is in the sensing and in the imagery.
Interesting. Yeah, that completely makes sense. Now, you know, you do this obviously for a living, and you know, when you have your clients and you're with your clients, you turn it on, and you know, the messages come through. What about when you're not doing your reading? Is it, are you getting anything, you know, like let's say you're grocery shopping or something like that? Do you, can you turn it off? Like, or you're in the shower, can you turn it off?
You know, I try to, and sometimes it will work. but other times it can be a little bit more difficult, just because the pull is, you know, very strong. I might be standing near someone. I might be, you know, just literally an arm's length away. I hear something, I might see something, and then I have to say, well, I cannot, you know, I can't engage with that person right now. I'm at the grocery store. I can't, you know, come up to someone and say, excuse me. So right. I do try to be very discreet, and I do try to turn it off. It's not always successful, but, you know, I do try to also honor spirit. So if I'm going somewhere, family gathering, or even with a friend, you know, maybe going for a visit, if I happen to connect prior to, you know, going to the event, and they drive with me all the way there, they're with me when I enter the home. If they're lingering for a while, a lot of times I'll have to, you know, ask who's there, you know, hey, can I share something with you? So it's not always successful turning it off. But I also, again, try to respect and honor everyone's boundaries, including my own spirit and, you know, wherever I'm at.
Well, you know, I think that's a very good practice, because even though, you know, you are a very fine medium, and you know, I am not a medium, but I buy into it. But if you saw me, okay, and if you knew me, and you got a message from my son or something, I would definitely love to hear from him. But if you're in the crowd, you don't know me, you don't know how I might react to a message like that. So I think that is a very good practice. I mean, you're playing it safe with, you know, when you go to a gathering of people that you know, and if somebody lingers with you, then you ask them. That's completely acceptable. But, you know, I think that, you know, you can get into trouble otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've been in that position, and it's not
fun. You learned the hard way.
Very, very much so. So I do honor that. And you know, some people, they're incredibly private to go up and say something that's very personal, that maybe they don't want to talk about.
Tracy,
you know, you have to honor that.
I also learned the hard way something related to this. A very close friend of mine who I used to do gigs with as a duet, an incredible guitarist. He was my inspiration for playing guitar. And anyways, he died of cancer about, well, it wasn't last October, but the October before, I think, or somewhere around. No, it was like February. I went to visit him in October. Anyways, I saw him in the hospital on his deathbed. This guy was, you know, he was vibrant and strong. And, you know, when I saw him, he was like one tenth the person he was physically. Anyways, I had a conversation with him about a week after I saw him, and a week later he was gone. But I did converse with him, knowing everything that I know. I wanted, and I've, before this has happened before, and I kicked myself for not telling the person, don't worry, there is an afterlife. This is what's going to happen. But so I just blurted it out. I blurted it out to this guy. His name is Walter. Amazing human being. And you know what he told me? He told me, you know what? I'm not comfortable talking about that. And I learned a valuable lesson from that. I learned some people, you know, even on their death, he was very, very Christian and very, you know, he went to church and never missed a Sunday, you know, until he was sick, and he was God-fearing and all that. And but a wonderful, wonderful human being. And anyways, when I spoke to him about that, I figured, hey, you know, why not ease his pain? I was just trying to do, you know, trying to do the a good thing for him.
Sure.
And you know, not everyone, my point is, not everyone's receptive to that. Simple as that.
Yeah, you
know, and he was on his deathbed telling me that the STFU, you know. and so I did real quick change the subject, and I will never do something like that again. I will never assume that, you know, like, you know, unless they initiated. If they initiated, different story. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But you don't, you know, you don't want to really cross that line, because you don't know, you know, someone's spiritual beliefs, religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I think you have a duty to honor that space and be respectful. And especially if somebody shuts you down, you're done.
Oh, and believe me, after that was said and done, you know, I didn't bring it up again. And I learned a lesson from it. You know, I was just trying to do the right thing. I was trying to ease his, you know, any worries that he had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's he had since communicated very strongly to his wife that, you know, finances were good, because she was worried about it. And then she found out afterwards, it was one of those things that she didn't even know. And somebody approached her at a teacher's conference saying, this happened, and don't you worry about the car payments, they're taken care of. And it turned out to be true, you know. So I know he's existing, and he's there, and he's doing great, and he's an amazing person. I love him to death. And, you know, I can't wait, you know, to meet him on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So just an interesting story. I don't share that much about, you know, my situation, because this show's all about you, but we were kind of on the topic. So
no worries. I love to hear other people's experiences.
Yeah. So what do you think about what's on the other side? Do you ever see like pictures of, what are they doing? Are they playing harps? I don't think so.
They could be. I haven't seen any harp players.
well, you know, sitting on a cloud playing a harp in the cartoons, you know.
You know, I've had dreams. I've had very intense dreams. I've had astral travel experiences, and they've been very interesting. But I do believe that there is a presence of energy, how things vibrate, what they look like, the intensity of that. I've seen it in my readings, colors that are hard to describe, you know, things that they're doing. So not necessarily always a landscape, although I've seen like green grass that's more green than, you know, grass that we have here in our physical world. So, you know, the I believe collectively, the other side, what they're doing, you know, what it looks like, all that. I think it's beautiful. I think it's, you know, pain-free. I think it's I think in a lot of ways it's beyond maybe what we can even begin to comprehend.
Right.
But I think it's a beautiful place. I think it's literally returning to where we come from. I do believe, you know, that's our birthplace. That's the source. So I think everything about it, you know, has a wonderful tone and vibration to it. Are there different levels that
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah, I do believe there are different levels people can enter, you know, into, mm-hmm. and then work their way up, kind of, you know, kind of the same way here, kindergarten, first, second, third. There's a graduation process in this life. I do believe that for the other side as well. But I believe wholeheartedly that whatever we experience here, you know, when we cross over, for example, disease or things of that nature, I believe that we shed all of that and go back to our perfect form.
Interesting. I think I remember reading something that really resonated with me, and that is that we embark on this journey called being human beings on Earth, mm-hmm. in order to experience a lot of the hardships, such as the physical reality, disease, not mm-hmm. having everything you want exactly when you want it, or mm-hmm. you know, those kind of things, having limitations. And I think it's a fast track to spiritual development. I think we embarked on it in order to, you know, in order to learn. It's a learning experience.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I believe that some learn, you know, earlier, some mm-hmm. learn later in life. It's not a contest or it's not a race, but I think we experience to varying degrees. And when things happen, you know, that's when it's supposed to happen. And if it happens for one and it doesn't happen for someone else, maybe never, or maybe it does, you know, 30 years after the fact, I believe it's unique to each person.
Very interesting. Yeah. I think, you know, there's this thing called, what do you think about soul groups? Have you heard of soul groups?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your take on that? Because I believe that we are part of a soul group, and we come here to play different roles, to teach people, entities in our group, or the souls in our soul group, different lessons. And one day you can be the child who dies young. Another time you can be the parent who dies of this, or another time you can mm-hmm. be born with a severe, you know, like cerebral palsy or something, mm-hmm. you know, and have a caretaker that learns how to take care of you, you know, that kind of thing. And they're all part of the same soul group, and right. you interact through different lifetimes, or maybe on this planet, maybe on another planet, or something completely different, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. Yeah, I agree with you. Everything you said, I believe is true. I think we travel in pods or soul groups, and we're mm-hmm. here to teach, to be the student, to and also to teach. And I think it's cyclic. And you know, you might come in as, you know, one thing. The next time it might be something else. And I think it really is about the evolution of the soul and how we can mm-hmm. learn and grow individually, but also collectively. So yeah, I do believe that. And I believe we pick and choose our experiences. I right. know that's a little bit of a, you know, it's a subjective, you know, opinion, but I also believe mm-hmm. that for some, it's kind of taboo. If you make that statement, somebody who has cancer, you know, or some other affliction will say, you know, that's ridiculous. Who would ever ask to suffer like that and come here? But, you know, in my own personal journey, particularly with health, I find that if you're open to understanding, even if you don't understand, initially or even throughout that journey exactly why something is happening or why it is the way that it is, but you're open to, you know, being flexible and attempting to understand it, learn, and go with the flow.
Right.
It does make your journey easier, and it also allows you to learn, I think, at a different level when you stop fighting and resisting or allowing, you know, anger or other things to get in the way. I think it can really be a blessing and help you, which in turn can help those around you, whether they're your family, friends, maybe even a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we do cross over, I think, you know, it doesn't make us, when I die, I'm not going to become omni-Roman. I won't know everything. You know, I'm going to know what I knew here, pretty much, I think. You know, and it's a continual learning path. There will be other experiences in the afterlife and whatever life comes after that. You know, I think it's a gradual, you know, learning. And as you learn, you like you said earlier, you graduate, you go to higher levels and
right. That
kind of thing. It's a path that we're all on, because, you know, this whole thing makes a lot of sense to me, except for one thing. And that is, and maybe you can answer this. The only thing that bothers me about this whole thing is that we evolved into being humans, life on Earth. Okay. We started out as, you know, amoebas, and then we became fish, and then we became dinosaurs, and then we became, we evolved into apes, and then from apes, you know, all of those animals did they have this ability to have that cognition like we do, where they, you know, were they born into this? Like, what's your take on all of that, about the evolution of man and how consciousness relates to that? I know it's a very deep question.
It is, yeah. And to be honest with you, it's one that I still ask, because I don't have a very sound answer.
Right.
Because I think it's so broad. I think it's something that possibly that we may not be able to ever know the whys of that. So I honestly, obviously it's something I have thought about repeatedly, but I don't really have a strong grasp or sound opinion on the evolution.
Yeah.
Of all of that, simply because I think it's unanswerable, at least right now. Maybe it's something that science can answer later on to a more detailed degree than what they've already been able to answer. But that's a tough question, to be honest.
It is. And you know what? I didn't really expect anybody, and I don't expect anybody to have an answer. That's an answer for God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is, you know, but I'm just saying that is one of the things that to me remains unsolved in the whole scheme of things, you know, and it's a pretty important question. You know?
Yeah, but it is.
Kind of like, where did it all start? You know, how did it all start? Why did it all start? You know, it's very philosophical, and that's okay. You know what? Our time just flew by. Can you believe like an hour is over? But before we leave, I just, you know, let's give you a plug here. Where do you practice? How? I already said that you can be reached with in your website. That's probably the best way for people to reach you. Withinthelight.com, correct?
Yes. And you can go to my website. Which I said earlier, most of my readings take place over the phone, simply because it's, you know, the clientele that I have, where they're located. I do try to make it convenient, but I am going to, in the new year, we'll see with COVID and how all of that goes. But I used to conduct groups grief groups called the Good Grief Circle, and work out of office or go, you know, to my clients' homes. I'm hoping to do that in the upcoming year. So anybody interested in doing grief groups, I can do them by phone. Mm-hmm. If you're out of state, Zoom as well. Yeah, you can email me, call me, and, you know, take a look at my website. And if
what is your email address?
You can email me through Within the Light.
Oh, okay.
.com, or you can email me at Tracy Lee Nash at withinthelight.com.
Okay. Just your name, withinthelight.com. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for, you know, spending the hour with us and enlightening us. And I think it was very fascinating, and I can't wait to do it again.
Thank you. Thank you, Roman, so much for your time. I appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thank you so much, Tracy. And for those of you out there, thank you for joining us. And we will, I will be back next month on the second Thursday of the month with this same kind of show. In the meantime, you know, just know that you're, you know, as the dearly departed, loved and missed friend Ginsberg used to say, that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away. And science one day is going to prove it. You know, we're getting there. And we wish you all a very good night. Thank you very much, everybody.